This is SaaS Scaled, the podcast where data meets action with host Arman Shrocki. Each week, Arman will be sitting down with CEOs and industry leaders from the technology sector, giving you the insight to innovate without reinventing the wheel. They'll discuss challenges, best practices, and how to identify the right metrics. So if you want to get to market faster and in a way that matters, then subscribe and join us every week as we discuss SaaS Scale. This episode is brought to you by Curve, the modern no-code analytics solution for SaaS companies on AWS. The tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curve.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.
Welcome to another episode of SaaS Scaled. I'm pleased to have Jason here, and we are going to have a discussion around finance and how it impacts SaaS business. Jason, welcome to the show, and please tell us a little bit about yourself and about the company.
Great. Thanks, Arman, for having me on. Really appreciate it. As you mentioned, you know, my background is in finance and accounting. And mostly in a consultative role for most of my career. So I've had the opportunity to see all different types of businesses in all different types of industries. SaaS is a big industry for us as well. My background started in public accounting. So I spent about 10 years, most of it with Deloitte in Southern California markets in the financial statement audit portion of Deloitte. And then what I would see, even working with companies at Deloitte, even though Deloitte's a very large global organization, is we still worked with a lot of small, mid-sized, mid-market companies. And so I would see a lot of companies that looked at accounting and finance as almost a necessary evil in their business, meaning I have to pay my bills, I have to make sure we invoice and collect, and I have to make sure that we have enough cash for payroll. And then, oh, every year, maybe I have to make sure that my tax returns are done. And so a lot of these companies, they don't have, they're first-time entrepreneurs. They're not working on a very large budget. And so they don't have the budget to really bring in that top talent in the market that can really help them to see their financial information, understand the metrics of their business to be able to make decisions and to achieve the goals that they have. And so what we created, or what I created in 2008, was Signature Analytics. And that's what we do is basically help companies with flexible, scalable approach to their finance and accounting function. So we bring them the top talent, but on a fractional or part-time basis, but on a continuous basis to support their efforts and their needs of their business. And provide that financial leadership so they have visibility into their business to make decisions to achieve the goals they have. And so with SaaS especially, you know, a lot of companies, cash flow is critical. Making sure that, you know, building that, once they have built the product, the marketing, the sales efforts come into play, and then beginning to build that monthly recurring revenue base. And so really understanding metrics associated with that business, churn, you know, monthly and annual recurring revenue and so on are critical components to the SaaS business. And we want to highlight those for our clients.
And you name the company kind of analytics, right? So if you look at the name, you see the component, you don't see like the accounting, or you don't see the right. Finance as part of the name. You see the account, the analytics as part of the name. Of course, I guess it's probably on purpose. Can you expand upon that? That why you made analytics on purpose, the name, not accounting, not finance?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I didn't want to call it was Jason's Accounting Shop. And, you know, I wanted a company, or we wanted a company that was going to grow beyond my experience and expertise. And we've done that. We have about 80 full-time employees within our company. We're big on our processes and training our team on our processes to support those efforts. So we're not a recruiting or a staffing firm where we bring in consultants. We have a full suite of individuals with the experience necessary. So I wanted to build something beyond myself, obviously. And in addition to that, build something and provide value to companies beyond accounting and finance. I mean, for a business owner, yes, I need my accounting done, but I also need to make sure that, but what I really need is visibility into my business through metrics and through reporting. And so that's where the analytics come into play. It's how do we analyze, how do we understand the company so that we can provide the right metrics that management can make decisions on to achieve the goals they have. And in the SaaS industry, there's specific metrics associated with that industry that are common, but each company also has different, is in a different life stage of their company. And where they're going and the goals that they have. And so really customizing that for their business as well through not only ongoing financials, financial reporting, real-time dashboarding to really focus on making sure they have the information to make decisions.
And if I'm a SaaS founder and I would like to, work with a firm like yours, Signature Analytics, what would be your pitch to say, this is, how would you make a decision that this is really the best fit or not? Because then they have other options, so it might be about the size of them, it might be about the type of the business they are in, or some other attributes that may make them very optimized, the best case that you can help them most, or it might not be necessarily the best match.
Yeah, I think for us, it's mostly the mindset of the business owner and where they want to take the company. Mm-hmm. If they're happy with a company that is, that's smaller and they want to keep maintain a lifestyle business and they're happy with where they're at, that's probably not the best fit for us because, our focus is on working with companies that see opportunity for growth. They want to grow, and we can provide that support to allow them to grow. As companies grow, they have to be able to scale. Scalability is a big part, right? All business owners talk about scalability and the importance of that. The reality is it's very, very difficult to do that. And the business owner has one skill set, and to be able to scale effectively, business owners need to be able to bring in that talent in different areas of their business. So not just finance and accounting, but sales and marketing, operations, HR. Never knew how important HR was until I saw how it impacted our business and the value that it brought to our business through culture and our people and how we evaluate and train and build our people and provide them the experiences that they need to grow their careers. And so those are critical areas of a business. And so companies that grow and scale and want to scale, take their business to the next level. What are their goals? What are their objectives? If they're looking at an exit, if they want to make acquisitions, if they're looking for financing, different types of financing opportunities, investor relations, that is really our sweet spot, is taking them from maybe where they are to that next stage of life. They've gotten to where they can now with the team they currently have. But as we all know, in order to grow and scale, that's where that level of sophistication needs to improve and grow from there as well.
And is there any particular common mistake that you have seen that founders, SaaS companies take on the accounting side? When you get involved, you realize that that's a common mistake that I have seen so many times, and then you help them to fix it, essentially.
Yeah, I look at, when I look at a business and if the goal of a business is to grow and to eventually have some level of an exit. We want to always be focused on maximizing enterprise value at all times and thinking about not only where we are today, but where will we be in the future? And so a lot of what I see a lot of times is the accounting is an afterthought, or the metrics of the business are an afterthought. How I evaluate success is an afterthought, because I'm just trying to grow my client base or bring in new clients and not lose clients. And that's a big, those are big metrics, is churn, right? And growing that month, that monthly and annual recurring base. But if we can identify the metrics up front and really understand cash flows up front, the cash flows of a business is critical, meaning how much cash do you have now and how long will that last? Are you running at a cash burn? Do you have a cash burn rate, or is cash depleting over time? If so, we need to start thinking about that now and how we're going to manage that. Do we need a capital infusion? Do we need to bring in additional investors? Can we get financing in some way, or will our revenue growth be able to manage through that? So cash flow, cash management is critical. Understanding that in advance so we can plan for the future is critical. That's a common, I would say, mistake that business owners do, is they're living day by day. And so what's that forward-looking planning look like? What's that forecasting looking like so we can appropriately manage and grow the business? And what's the, let's make sure we have the metrics in place now to evaluate the business that creates enterprise value, so that when we go to a third party, we look like we have that competent, that we have that competence, and that we have a well-run business that investors and third parties will be interested in partnering up with us on.
And then, of course, you know, you work with these founders, you work with these CEOs in these companies, SaaS company, and in many aspects, you know, as you said, they have a lot of metrics in mind that drive sales, talk about customers, and they already, you know, have a lot of challenges in the business that from their perspective, you know, they wanted to, you know, tackle every day when they come to work. And in many cases, it's a lonely job. You know, it's not like they can freely go ahead and just talk about those kind of challenges with everyone in the company, because each person has different expertise in different fields. So they can go and talk about the marketing challenge with the marketing person, or, you know, talk about that challenge on the HR part with somebody else, but not really in overall case. Probably you can be the person that, since you are looking at the numbers and these metrics, will be, you know, one of a few people that they can really go there and just talk with you about the 360 degree view of the business, and then say, this is the, you know, the whole view. From that perspective, probably you get, you know, that opportunity to speak about that aspect with them. Having said that, founders and CEOs, they have to be very optimistic about the business. And on your side, you need to be very pragmatic about the business. You have to really say, hey, do you see any kind of, you know, mechanics there, something that probably from your perspective, you have the understanding of where they're coming from. They have to be a little bit more optimistic than normal, because they have to be that drive. Otherwise, right, they may not have that drive. And on your side, you wanted to bring them back to earth and say, hey, this is what we need to do, to be a little bit pragmatic. You know, how that works, that interactions.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think a lot of what we do is we want to understand and evaluate risk, but we also want to have an entrepreneurial mindset like our client too. We don't want to be, we don't want to come in and say, well, you know, here's all the risky things and, you know, you can't do anything, because that's the opposite of what the mindset of an entrepreneur is. So we have to have that. And what we do is come from that entrepreneurial mindset of, here we are today, and here's where we want to get. Okay, how are we going to accomplish that? Let's make sure we have a roadmap that we can see through the financials based on what's happening with the business. We can see that growth and that success. And so, you know, basically, what we are and we have on our team is that CFO level support and business advisory support to be that sounding board for the client, for the CEO, through the entrepreneur, through the business owner, so that they can leverage that expertise that they don't have. What's important for any business is also, as I mentioned before, that the scalability means that we want the business owner, the CEO, the entrepreneur to be focused on what they do best and what they know best. And a lot of business owners and CEOs are caught up in spending time in accounting and finance, or time in operations, or time in HR, and where that's not the best use of their time. And they know it, but they have nobody else to support them in that. And so that financial leadership is important. And so we want to provide that financial leadership to relieve, take that off the plate of the CEO, of management, so they can focus on what they do best and what their expertise is in really achieving the goals of the business. And so that's a big part of just business. And what we see in general is know your business, know every aspect of your business, but bring in the expertise in every area to really help you to grow to that next level. A lot of companies don't have, most companies don't have the resources to hire, full-time sales expert, a full-time CFO, a full-time marketing, CMO, head of HR, COO, et cetera. And so we want to make sure we understand, okay, what is the best path forward in that? Can we leverage certain resources on a part-time or fractional basis? And what's the skill set of the CEO? And then over time, we can start to build out and budget for that based on the performance of the business, on how we allocate our resources and our expenses. But that should align with the goals of management, CEO, the business owner, to achieve the goals that they have set forth.
Looking at SaaS companies, not when they're smaller, let's say they're smaller than 250 people.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a SaaS company. It's growing. You mentioned that it's not the best use of CEO founder time to really go and spend on accounting and other things. And then there are a lot of things that the person needs to take care of. What would be, from your observation, what would be the best part that they should really pay attention to? What is the pattern that you have seen with the successful SaaS companies you have worked with, that this is what I see? The most successful ones, really the CEO spends time mostly around these 1, 2, 3 areas.
Yeah. It depends on, some of it depends on the life cycle of the company, obviously. My assumption is that the product has already been developed and they're out to market and they're building up the revenue base. In that area, what I see is, again, having certain levels of expertise in different areas and leveraging those. If you take finance and accounting, let's make sure that we have the right reporting and right metrics and consistency that we're delivering to the CEO on a consistent basis. CEO sits down with each department leader, has those metrics, has that information, and they have an understanding of, okay, what's happening based on what we expect to be happening, what's the plan for the future, how are we trending against our goals, what does our cash flows look like? Okay, great. That, and now we can make some decisions off of that. CEO then can be meeting with whoever's ahead of sales and marketing and sit down and say, okay, again, same thing. What metrics are we tracking? How are we doing against those metrics? And what tweaks to the business do we need to make to improve the performance of those metrics? The CEO, as they grow, in most cases, a SaaS CEO or management, is their background and expertise is software and is developing that software. And so now they've developed it, now they have to sell it, and that's maybe not their experience. And so bringing in that expertise that can help them support that, but understanding and knowing each aspect, understand how we're driving sales, understand the strategies behind that, understand the strategies behind the metrics that we're measuring from a financial side of the business. And then operationally and supporting clients, I mean, that's a lot of where the SaaS entrepreneurs, CEOs are in, as far as their, a lot of their time is in the operational side, because that's where their expertise is. And so they can play that part up to a point. And as the company continues to grow, then they can start to build under that as well. But what I find to be very important is really understanding every aspect of the business enough so that you can make decisions on and you understand the strategy. What I found not to be successful is a CEO that may say, okay, well, I've grown and now I just need to hire a head of sales and they'll take care of all sales and I don't ever need to talk to them. They're just going to go and sell for me. And then I'll hire a CFO and they'll take care of that and I don't need to understand what they're doing. They'll just do what they do. And then I'll hire a head over here. No matter what, you know, no matter the business, it's important to understand all aspects of your business and the strategy around each area of your business. Because the CEO knows the business better than anybody, and the sales executive and the CFO may have great ideas, but the CEO is going to give that, is really going to understand if that strategy is really going to make an impact on their business in the positive.
Great point. So from your perspective, when you want to delegate things to someone, there is a right level of delegation. The timing needs to be right. The level needs to be right. You cannot delegate everything. You cannot delegate nothing. Right. And you have to do it also with a kind of probably timeline ramped up style, so it's done right. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
I can resonate. You hit the word exactly right. It's a process of slow process of delegation as the CEO to be able to grow and expand your business beyond yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Many of these metrics are well connected. For example, you can have someone on the sales and marketing come up with some metrics that are fine on that side. But then you have some other metrics on the cash flow side. You have some other metrics even on the product side, on the customer success part. And all of these sections at the end, if the metrics are isolated from each other and you just see each one in a silo, they may not connect and it may cause some issues, right? Yeah. So who is that person who can come up with the metrics that are glued together? And they are all toward the North Star. And they say that's really the more unified way of putting these metrics, rather than each one of these, the metric can be about compensation that drives the behavior of the sales because you are compensating that way, or the behavior of the CX or customer experience for that matter. So how would you see the right process is? Is it something you would be very instrumental in the companies that you work with to come up with that model and just make sure that they are fully unified and integrated? Or would you think that has to come from CEO himself? And if he cannot do it or she cannot do it, probably that's a problem. You cannot help that much.
Yeah, I think so. It's a little bit of both. It's a collaborative effort. So depending on who the company has that leads sales, and then maybe somebody leads sales and somebody else leads marketing. Whoever is in charge of finance with our clients, we are the leadership. We're in charge of finance. Who's involved with customer support and success and operational side of the business. And so there are metrics that should be developed that define success in each of those. Those areas of the business should work collaboratively with the CEO to define what those metrics are. That being said, as you mentioned, they all work off of each other, and we have to understand the impact of, the metrics then define the activities and how we're going to move forward and the decisions we make in the business. We have to understand the impact of those have on the financial side of the business to make sure that the business can support the decisions that we're making. As an example, one of the decisions that comes from the sales side is, we need to, ultimately we want to establish X level of growth or X number of new clients per month, per quarter, per year. Here's how we're going to measure that. Here's the activities that's going to happen to do that. And as a result, we have to hire 5 or 6 more salespeople. Well, that's a cost to the business. So we need to understand, okay, if this is an additional cost to the business, hiring 5 or 6 more people, when do we hire them? What activities are they going to perform? And at what time would we expect to see success or fruits from our labor or fruit, you know, success from the decisions that we're making? We want to be able to model that out so that we understand from a financial perspective, can the business support that? If the business can support that through its current cash flows, how long can it? How long is the runway? And we have to measure against that. You know, are we meeting expectations? Okay, now we've hired the 5 people. We're executing against our sales plan. Are they meeting the expectations we thought they were? If they're slower, then we have to adjust our financial model to make sure that we can that we have the cash flows to manage that. We also need to be looking at, you know, or should we be looking at, and you know, at what point should we be looking at bringing in additional investors or investors at all? That all plays part of that. So the metrics and the decisions that are made, in my opinion, need to be modeled out in a forecast or a budget so that we can see the impact of that. We can then measure the success of what's happening in each department and measure that success or lack of success against what we initially anticipated and then continue to make decisions off of that. But if we just hire 5 people to achieve a plan and achieve metrics that we've developed in sales, and we don't have an understanding of how that impacts our business financials, we could be in a very difficult situation in a few months if they're not as successful as we had hoped they were. And I don't like to use a strategy of hope when running a business. We don't want to cross our fingers. We want to have an understanding of what's happening. We want to understand how we're going to react in different situations. So we have the time and the runway to react in a positive way to keep things moving forward. Hopefully that helps to answer the question.
Yes. Thank you very much. You mentioned strategy of hope. I should tell you that founders need to be always hopeful, but you're right. It's not the strategy, but right. You never, ever can lose hope because there would be cases that necessarily it's not, you know, just math doesn't work that way. It's just you don't see exactly, you can't really plan something that everything is well thought of. And sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs have to really go there and just dare to really, you know, do something. We need to make sure, you know, founders, everybody who's making something special happen at one point, I bet, had to bet on something that maybe, you know, it was not necessarily all, you know, figured out down the road. Yep. In your case, when you started your company, for example, was it a decision that was very natural to you? You knew that you wanted to do it, or it came with some risks from your perspective? Yeah. Hey, I can really go and just work with this well-established in your career. You have worked with great companies, and you could just continue that kind of work. Or you came to the conclusion that, okay, at this point, I'm going to take the risk to do it. How did it work on yours?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's definitely a leap of faith. You can plan and model it out as much as you want, but there is that leap of faith that's involved up front to actually make the decision to do it. It's also, what's interesting also is that the services that we provide are not the same services that we provide or that I provided at Deloitte. The good thing about that, so the bad thing is that there was no clients that really that came over or that I could, you know, leverage from that. The good thing though is that the services that Deloitte and other accounting CPA firms provide, we complement what they how they support their clients. Traditional accounting and CPA firms do not want to be doing the books of their clients. In some cases, they will grudgingly do it if it's simple, but that they're not in the role for bookkeeping or accounting or even, and once it gets more complex, that's not their role. And so we complement what they do quite a bit. So I knew that there was a gap in the market for that to really create something special there. I also knew that I had a strong background of 10 years. I had a good resume that I could go out into the market and talk to individuals about. But there's absolutely a leap of faith and there's some risk involved. I would say I had a very understanding wife and at the same time, because when I started, it was myself and a computer at the time and leveraging the relationships and the network that I had and starting to build processes and the team and the foundation of a company to be successful. And it took a lot of hard work and effort, especially over the first 4 to 5 years. And then after about that 4 to 5 year point, we really got some very strong traction and really started to see that exponential growth to get us to where we are now. But it took a lot of time and effort, sweat, blood, tears, everything to get there. As so I can absolutely relate to the entrepreneurial mindset, and absolutely relate to how an entrepreneur should be assessing risk and understanding what's truly important. In accounting, there's a lot of accounting. We talk about GAAP financials. If a company is not audited, there's no reason to record something in accordance with GAAP if it's not providing value to the company. In some cases, we have to make sure that the financials are prepared appropriately for tax purposes, but there's no sense in doing a $30,000 exercise that nobody gets value out of that will only be needed if somebody requests audited or true GAAP-based financials. And even in those cases, if they go to a third party or a potential investor, we can identify that. We say, hey, you know what? We didn't account for this, these equity transactions or this convertible debt and warrants that we have exactly in accordance with GAAP because there's no value to the business owner. And most third parties will say, okay, great. That's fine. We noted that. And let's move on to what we're really looking at. So the mindset of the entrepreneur is critical. And I always try to keep that mindset. Even though I'm in a compliance-driven world with accounting and finance, what's truly the value that that we can bring to the company and the client versus what they need to have and what they have to have?
So, Jason, I would like to ask at this point, what's your favorite book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's interesting. I loved, before I started the company, I liked to read a lot of books on business for a couple things. One, to educate myself. I saw a lot of businesses out there. I had a lot of exposure to businesses through what I did. I've always been in consulting, so I've seen thousands of different businesses. But I still wanted to educate myself through reading. It also gave me confidence to say, okay, now I need to take that leap of faith. So I started the company in 2008. I read this book. I read probably in 2003 or 2004, maybe 2005. Is the Rich Dad Poor Dad series? So it's Robert Kiyosaki wrote that, and that book was important to me because it helped me to truly understand the importance of how to do things. You know, how sophisticated individuals will do things to get beyond building a business beyond themselves, and the importance of bringing in partners like your banking partner, like your a business coach, like a CFO, like other areas to the importance of that to leverage as you grow a business. And so I read that book when I was in my 20s, maybe 30s, and that resonated quite a bit. Over time, you know, a book that I think is important, and it doesn't mean you have to go this route, but Traction by Gina Wickman is also a good business book. And there's other books like this as well. There's Scaling Up, which I think Gina Wickman was part of. But that book helps to define a platform for how to run a business. and to create consistency in how you run your business. I think with business owners, they're always playing whack-a-mole. They're always saying, okay, well, whatever the latest fire is, I'm hitting it, right? And so this creates structure for being able to plan effectively and to be able to make decisions and to focus on, everybody says focus on your business, not, work on your business, don't work in your business. And so being able to do that to drive you forward, it creates that structure. You don't have to use EOS, which is a product of Traction, but creating that consistency and that structure on how to make decisions and how to work on areas of your business, I think is critical as well. So those are just two books off the top of my head that I think have made an impact on me on kind of how I look at businesses and how businesses go from where they are today to taking that next level to building really an enterprise level business.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us today. It was great. Pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Armin.
Thank you for listening to SaaS Scaled with Armon Ashraghi. For show notes and any resources mentioned in today's episode, go to sasscaled.com. If you're enjoying our show, give us a 5-star review and share on LinkedIn. And be sure to subscribe for any updates on future episodes. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you by Curve, the modern no-code analytics solution for SaaS companies on AWS. The tools you need to take action with your data on a platform built for maximum scalability, security, and cost efficiencies. If you're ready to reduce complexity and dramatically lower costs, then contact us today at curvey.com. That's Q-R-V-E-Y.com.